It's not Sunday, but it still can be froze all day.
Yas. Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Hello and welcome everyone back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can listen live on our show at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. My name is Tom and I'm your host. And as always, I'm here with my bitches, my friends, my amazing, fabulous co-hosts, starting with the birthday girl.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And
that shit was yesterday. Good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish. She's already going to get cut. She's already going to get cut because it's my birthday month and it's been the 12 days of Nicholas. But now it's the 13th day of Nicholas. So deal with it.
I can't with you guys. So we are doing some interesting things. We're trying some different things. So you know that usually towards the end of the show, we always mention to our Patreons, you know, thank you for your support. And it is amazingly awesome that you guys donate and help in our endeavors to bring you the show week after week. So today I went on Patreon and I started setting up this live stream, which goes through via YouTube. So once the Patreon only video stream is done, it'll be posted on YouTube. But if you want to like access the Patreon only live stream of the show, which I think that we should continuously do this going forward, so you guys can see all the craziness, even when we're like on break and you don't get to listen to what we're saying or doing and all our shenanigans while on break, you'll be able to actually see that on the live stream.
So you gotta watch everything. What I say.
Of course you do.
Shit. No, you don't. You never do.
Yeah, so
facts.
Not alternative facts.
But either way, it's amazing because yeah, it's another opportunity for us to be able to engage with our audience, especially those on Patreon who support the show. Mm-hmm. And if you want to do that, all you have to do is just go on Patreon and help us out. And you'll have access to that live stream in video, not only in audio. So
they can see we're real.
Yeah.
We're not one of those Russian troll sites.
Exactly. And we go through and we do everything that we need to do on the show. So
that means we have to start looking more presentable. I'm filthy right now.
I am still going to be my fat self and wear my tank tops.
And your sriracha?
And my sriracha. Yeah, maybe.
You might even get to see a testicle.
You never know. Actually, you can't see under the desk, so.
Then you're all safe.
I think we're good. But either
you
way.
You okay there, Trish?
Oh, Trish. But either way, I wanted to start off the episode and with that, are you crying already?
No.
There's no crying in baseball.
I went and put my hands
fog up?
Over my face, and I I breathed out and fogged up my glasses, so I took my hands off my face, and I couldn't see anything.
I heard you pause before saying breathed. It sounds wrong, doesn't it?
Doesn't it sound wrong?
You were like,
I'm like, breathe.
Did I breathe? I saw that. You hesitated. You did.
What is the correct verbiage of breathe when you're saying I'm breathing out, but without the ing?
It's
I breathe out.
Tense.
I breathed out.
I just
breathed.
Don't know.
English
but
is
but
hard.
It makes sense. But either way, so it was and still is for at least the next 15 days, Nick's birthday. And so I wanted to say happy birthday. And
happy birthday. This is your birthday song. It's not very long.
It's done. Thankfully.
Yes, indeed.
No, but either way, happy birthday. So I wanted to before we get started with everything else, just sort of kind of kick it your way so that you can tell us what you did on your birthday and how was it?
Oh my God, I didn't do anything really.
Start with Thursday.
What did I do on Thursday?
You just drank.
Did I?
She doesn't even remember.
Okay, so Thursday.
Chris, they can see you now. Get off the phone.
I had to look up something when it comes to me.
So Friday I worked. Thursday... What did we do on Thursday? I didn't do anything on Thursday.
I was just kidding. I'm just messing with you because I know you're all groggy up there.
Yeah, clearly.
So, what did I know? So Friday I worked and then I was like at the barn working and I was just like, I just want to get away. I just want to not be here for my birthday. So, you know, the bar closed. It was like 3 a.m. and I texted my friend. And I was like, look, I know you want to hang out with me for my birthday, but I'm leaving. I'm like going somewhere. I haven't decided where yet. And you can join or not join. I'm thinking New York, and it was 3 a.m., and he texted me back. He's like, I just booked a room. It's like, okay, so we went to New York.
And they went to New York.
Yeah.
So what did you do in New York?
So my friend had never really seen a Broadway show.
Oh.
So I tried to enter a couple lotteries. I didn't get anything into any of the lotteries that I wanted, but obviously I have a connection at Wicked, so I sent an email and got tickets to take him to Wicked. This bitch.
Which he had never seen, right?
Never seen.
Okay.
Because he'd only
never been
seen
to Broadway.
Yeah. And so obviously I'm like obsessed, right? But whatever. We get there, they give us two tickets. They're not together because they're staff tickets and they were sold out. And this bitch gets three rows from the stage. And my ass on my birthday got shoved in the mezzanine, which is fine. They were both really good seats, and he had never seen a show before, so I was like, take the orchestra ticket. But it was a blast, and then we went to Flaming Saddles, and one of the hottest bartenders sat on my face and poured tequila down my throat.
And I will tell you, when I say sat on his face, it really happened.
So what
there's video proof.
What yeah. really happened was...
What happened was...
I said to the bartender, I was like, take a shot with me, it's my birthday. And he was like, no. Got up on, like, literally climbed up on the bar. If you've ever been there, they dance on the bar. It's a, you know, it's a country bar. Mm-hmm. And grabbed the back of my head, pulled me back, and just started pouring tequila down my throat. But in this process, he had said he was going to sit on my face. And then afterwards, when I was done with that, I looked at him. I'm like, you didn't sit on my face. And he got back up on the bar, grabbed my head, sat on my face, and continued to pour tequila down my throat.
So it looked like Nicholas was actually eating, like...
This guy's ass. Yeah. Yes. Chris is the bartender. It looked like I was eating Chris's ass.
Ew, disgusting.
But it... What do you mean? That's not disgusting. Did you see that guy?
Well, I thought you were talking about
that. No. Yeah. I'm disgusting.
No.
You would literally have to, like, fight through, like, a whole, like, army of, like, hair
so,
to
army.
Get through.
So, clear, yeah, so clearly,
it's
I...
not that hairy.
I got to a point where I was not really lucid anymore, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent that video to my family group text message.
What the fuck?
And my dad calls me the next day. He's like... Nick, I think 31 is a little old for you to be... And I was like... Ugh.
A mess?
No, and so he called me when I was at brunch the next morning, and I'm literally, like, right before he called me, I look at the waitress, and I take my glasses off my face, and I was like, is it as bad as I think it is? She's like, no, but you may need some cold spoons. You're a little puffy.
Hey, she's honest.
A little.
We all know Trisha's a poofer in the morning.
She does. She gets puffy. But it was a really good time. We had a blast. And then we got back to the hotel that night. And at this point, I'm not coherent. Like, I had tequila pouring down my throat twice, followed by a shot that somebody had bought me there. And I should have probably just said no, thank you to the shot. And I took it.
Of course you did. I'm proud of you.
We get back to the hotel. There's a mini bar. And everything's priced out. You know what I mean? We got one free thing from the mini bar and a free snack or whatever. And then my friend left me unattended.
To go get food for you.
To go get food for me. And next thing you know, I had started a fundraiser for my job. I'd stripped down to my underwear, and I was dancing around with a bottle of Don Julio saying, I did it! I did it! I opened the Don Julio! $45 later.
Oh, my God.
From the mini bar.
And he just comes in, and he's like, I don't even know what to do here. And then he walked back in, and I was... I don't remember most of this, but I started yelling at him because he still had his clothing on and I was unclothed at this point. So I'm just standing there with a bottle of Don Julio in my underwear, dancing around saying, why are your clothes still on? Just yelling at this poor friend of mine. And oh my God. Anyway, I should not be saying this on air, but this is what happened to me on my 31st birthday.
I'm proud of you.
You are crazy.
Yeah, she is.
But actually, that's a perfect...
We've been saying that since episode one.
Why are your clothes still on? Take your clothes off.
It's so fitting, right? Because during episode one, we talked about Wicked and where it started and how it started and, mm-hmm. and all that good stuff. Yeah.
So that's a perfect time to tell everybody that this is our last episode.
Bye.
Bye.
Full circle.
But that's awesome. And I'm happy that you had a good time. And then we went to lunch today and we had more tequila. And
I didn't even get a word out. She goes, well, it's his birthday, so can we get a Patron Silver, a Cafe Patron, and two margaritas? I was like, oh, she's going for it. Oh, yeah.
I was like, honey, if you are hungover, you was not hungover no more. Mm-mm. But then we ended up having salads. We had calamari and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. It was good. Mm-hmm. And so that was just pretty much it. Christopher, what did you do this weekend?
Well, I moved into my new apartment. That sucked. Couch didn't get up the chairs. It's hidden behind a dumpster right now. Other than that, Saturday, I went up to the Berkshires with a friend of mine, Michael Brown, who's been on the show before. Mm-hmm. We went to the Clark Art Institute. Frickin' amazing. Some of the best pieces from the best artists who have ever stepped on this earth.
I hate you right now. We literally talked about the trash that was my weekend, and now you're going to the fact that I was at an art museum, and it was amazing.
And I'm not even done yet. So we went to the art museum and looked at some Renoir and Van Gogh and Monet and Homer and all that beauty. And then we went to Tanglewood to sit outside in the pouring fucking rain. Sorry, Mom.
Why is it whenever you go there, it rains?
Every time I go to Tanglewood to sit outside and listen to music.
Because it rained for Melissa, didn't it?
No. It didn't rain for Melissa. It poured for Melissa.
And we had a lot of fun, though.
It was because there were like six of us, and we had like 27 bottles of wine.
Were all gone.
Yeah, so it was fine to be in the rain. This time, it was like a waterfall when we were there nonstop, but Michael and I went there to see the Boston Symphony Orchestra. It was John Williams' film night. So the first half of the program was scores from other film composers. They did a cool rendition from Psycho, which was freaking phenomenal. And they played like the scene where she was getting stabbed in the shower. Awesome, iconic moment. And then John Williams came out for the second half and conducted Superman, Close Encounter of the Third Kind, an Olympic music from the last Olympics in Sochi, not the last ones in Pyeongchang. Anyway, and then he finished with a Star Wars medley, and it was freaking.
I was just about to ask you.
Oh yeah, and I just wanted to get this out there. It was one. He told a cool story before he did Star Wars when George Lucas was doing the first film. He didn't.
Which originally released in 1977.
And John Williams really knew nothing about the film. He's like, oh, I just want you to write a theme for Luke and Princess Leia. And he was like, at that point, John Williams is like, okay, they're going to meet, they're going to fall in love, and they're going to end up getting married. So he wrote a romantic theme for Luke and Leia. 2 years later, he finds out, oh, they're brothers and sister. Brother and sister. So he wrote a love theme for this brother and sister. It was a funny story. And then he conducted. And then he went on, came out for two encores, and it was freaking awesome because I believe that this is his last time that he's going to be doing John Williams' film night at Tanglewood. So,
oh, wow. So you were able to actually see that last one.
Yep.
And you went with our good friend Michael Brown.
Mm-hmm. We're Symphony Buddies.
Who we've had on the show before as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Michael's. I love Michael. He's amazing.
It was a fun time. It was a really fun time.
That's awesome.
And then we almost died on the way home because it was torrential downpour and the GPS brought us through fucking Titsville in the middle of nowhere and windy-ass streets with no fucking lights.
Yeah, that sounds about
sounds
right.
Sounds like
yeah,
Chris.
Well,
it sounds about right for Massachusetts. But
it was fucking terrifying. It was fucking terrifying. But we made it, and it was phenomenal.
That's awesome. Well, my weekend was very uneventful. Friday, a friend of mine came over the house, and we threw two slabs of ribs on the grill. And
that sounds eventful to me.
And we gorged on my new Muse, which is the, and we're not endorsed by Red Bull, but they came out with this new coconut berry Red Bull. It's like a summer themed Red Bull. And so we had a bottle of Tito's and about 12 cans of that. And we just went to town.
So what I'm hearing is Tom being awake is brought to you, of course, by Red Bull.
Oh, I was about a unicornbooty.com.
Later.
I'll vouch for you. It does taste good, but it does smell like a sweaty taint. So so he's like, try this. He hands me a cup. I smell it. I'm like, what flavor is this?
Yeah, balls? Okay, I did not smell it. I just took a sip of it, and I did not smell sweaty taint. But you know what, Chris?
But you know, but it's delicious.
I mean, I was still going to go for the sip. I just wanted to verify if it was sweaty taint.
So I have an unofficial cocktail for today's episode, and then I'll let Chris tell you about the official cocktail that we're doing in honor of Nick's birthday.
Well, there's a story behind this. So before Chris goes on to tell about
But I'm not done with this one yet.
Oh, sorry.
So
Sweaty Tang.
Delicious. It is the Red Bull coconut berry mixed with Tito's over ice, and it is absolutely delicious.
And nutritious.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, and all that good stuff.
Sweaty balls.
And
They dunk them in there, like steeping, like a tea bag.
A little bit of salt never hurt anybody.
Absolutely. It's good for you. Natural.
Okay. May I continue with my weekend, please? Thank you. So then Saturday I stayed home, and of course, so Nick had introduced me like 2 weeks ago to a show. And it's called The Royals, right? It's a show that's on E! It's their first scripted show that they've released. And I was like, I don't know. I watched episode one, episode two. By episode three of season one, I was hooked. And I mean, I binged. So I had gone through like season one and two. And then Saturday,
still in season two, by the way.
Yeah. Saturday, I sat there and I watched season three from beginning to end, doing nothing because it was raining and all that good stuff. It was just horrible. But oh my God, this show is so amazing. Where the fuck was I? Why didn't I not know this existed?
I don't know. I mean, when I found it, I was like, I watched the first episode and I was like, oh shit.
I'm hooked.
Yeah.
And now my new thing is literally, I'm going to walk up to everybody and be like, walk away. Like, walk away. I should have said that to that bitch last night, but anyway.
That's not nice.
I'll explain later. So Saturday was uneventful. I watched The Royals, which, oh my God, you have to watch it. It's amazing. I love it. There's a lot of craziness. And then I went to work Saturday night at the bar, and then Sunday night we did karaoke. Nick came in. We sang happy birthday at the bar. We had drinks and shots and all that good stuff until this one little
critter. I worked. I didn't come in.
Yeah, you did. You worked. Sorry. And he came in. Sorta. And then this little critter just comes up to me and starts nagging me 15 minutes before closing when I had already told her 15 minutes ago, I stop at 12:30. I'm not taking new songs. And she just starts nagging me. And I'm just like, listen, read the words that are coming out of my mouth. I am done. You're not getting a song in. Get away from me. And she just keeps going. I was like, do you want me to kick you out? She goes like, try it. Oh my God. I flew outside and I said to Dave, I'm going to tell you one thing. If you don't go take this little thing that's sitting by my computer and tell her to go somewhere, I'm going to drag her out of your bar myself because I'm over her. And so he walked in and pushed her away to the corner and said, just sit here and stop causing trouble. Otherwise, I'm going to have to kick you out. But that was my weekend. And then of course, drinking.
Wait, did she get kicked out? Did you drag her out?
No, he dragged her to the corner and told her, sit and stay there, otherwise I'm kicking you out.
Oh, I was like, you left that part. That's the most exciting part.
No, she stayed in, but she didn't come back to my computer. I guarantee you that much. So anyway, little critter. Goodbye. But other than that, it was nice. Then we hung around for a little bit while Nick was cleaning and our other friend bartender. And then I came home. I went to bed. I woke up this morning and I started watching The Royals yet again. And until we went to lunch earlier. But other than that, it was an uneventful weekend. Now, to our cocktail. The official cocktail. There is a story behind it, and Nick needs to talk about it for a little bit before Christopher can tell us what it is.
I'm just going to give you a brief overview. So we woke up. I already told you about the waitress that.
Do we have a PowerPoint? Should we show it?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So no. So
I forgot they're there.
I already told you about the fact that we had. I had the waitress that was like, maybe you need to put some cold spoons on your face, but
spoons. Get the ladle.
So
is it ladles?
We went to Italy.
Like a colander.
We went to Italy in New York after that night, and we went and had brunch. And by brunch, I mean we had oysters and like tapas, which wasn't really brunch, but it was super good because of the Italian food, and I love it. But then we went to the rooftop beer garden. We get up there, and right before we order any drinks, we didn't even look at a menu. One of the waiters comes over and was like, "So we're really trying to push these frozen drinks because it's so hot." And so he told us one, and then he told us the other one, and that is what we're drinking, because I couldn't just have one. I had to have two.
Seven.
Two.
27.
Two.
Seven.
Well, this is my third.
She's lying.
Chris, what are we drinking?
We're drinking a Froze Popsicle.
Love it. And what's in a Froze Popsicle?
Well, it's Froze mix, which I believe Nick made.
I did.
Which was rosé wine, vodka, That's it. Okay, right? And you put it into an ice tray with like a popsicle stick in it, and you actually make a popsicle. Mm-hmm. So you have alcoholic ice for your alcohol, and you serve this in a glass of sparkling wine.
Or Prosecco.
Yeah, exactly. And then you sparkling wine, Prosecco, champagne.
You dip the popsicle into the Prosecco.
So what's great about the popsicle, though, right? So it does not, because it's alcohol, it doesn't freeze completely. So you're not getting a hard,
right, it's like a
ice cube. It turns into like a slush and just chills and sweetens the Prosecco or the sparkling wine. It is so good.
It's yummy.
I mean, and also, rosé, frosé, all day. Like, it's amazing, yes. And it's perfect for the summer. Not today, because it's rainy and gross, but like... It's so good. And yeah.
He walked in, and the first thing was, like, we've got to do this as the cocktail today.
He called me to say it earlier.
I was like, okay. I was like, fine. Yes, we'll do it. And we're doing it, and we're drinking it, and it's very delicious. And what else?
It's very nutritious, actually.
And?
But why? How is it nutritious?
Because there are grapes in it. Fermented grapes are good for your liver and fingernail health.
Uh-huh.
They give you shiny nails.
And for your digestive tract?
Well, not so much. They can be a little binding, actually. But counteract that with some raisins and you're good to go.
If you have loose stool, maybe they'd be good for you.
Yes, if you got the squirts, then yes.
Yeah, well,
tighten it up.
If the grapes
this
are
is
tightening...
better than Imodium, and it tastes better too.
If the grapes are tightening you up a bit, then just let them rot a little bit longer, and then that'll help.
You know what's really interesting, and I know that it's off topic, but grapes do bind you up. But if you have prunes and or raisins, it's the opposite effect.
Exactly. But I don't know if plums, because I believe. A prune is a dried plum.
Correct.
I don't know if plums are binding, though. But
Chris has some homework.
Yes, grapes will bind you up. But then if you eat their dried form, they get you going.
Gotcha.
For all those homos out there that bought them, if you need to get going before you get going, eat some dried fruit.
There you go.
It works. It just absorbs all that extra water that's in there anyway.
No, you want that extra water. You want that water.
But it takes it away, though. It just sucks it right up because it's like shriveled and
oh,
dry.
So maybe it like doesn't digest right away, so it goes further down your intestines, mm-hmm. allowing the water to go into it.
Poof.
There you go.
I don't know. Maybe I'm onto something.
Who needs Senecott?
Maybe we'll ask Dr. Evan Goldstein at some point.
I think that we all are honorary doctorates. We're fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So listen, now that we've gotten our cocktails... out of the way.
And weekends,
you know, it's only 23 minutes. So, yeah, you know, we're in good shape.
We're going to jump into, you know, this episode is all about the dish. You're getting just us.
That's true.
It's just going to be us and stories. There's a lot of great things that are happening, but also a lot of interesting things that are happening in the news. This first story that I'm about to jump into is one of those interesting yet like enraging, but also promising stories. So, I wanted to talk about a little bit about Gavin McInnes, and this individual is someone who runs a group called Proud Boys and also is considered to be Islamophobic, transphobic, among some of a few things that people have called him. But anyway, Twitter has announced that it has banned the Proud Boys and also Gavin McInnes from his Twitter handle so that he's not able to actually tweet or propagate or... you know, spew all this hatred that he does on Twitter. So they posted, and the story that I'm reading, which was written by Daniel Villarreal, who we've had on the show, which the story is brought to you by...
UnicornBooty.com.
Really, really, it is.
I feel like that fake is news. Now like... just a natural reaction for all of us because
I was
totally
reading
texting something
and I was reading the story
and I was not listening to Tommy, but then all of a sudden brought to you
they
by
just pop in.
And everyone that's watching can see it, like Trish and I are doing other stuff and all of a sudden we just go
boom,
heads bop to the microphone.
So anyway, so basically he wrote the following. Today, white civil rights activists, also known as the white supremacists and racist trash, I love it how he puts that in parentheses.
That's great.
It's awesome. Are marching on Washington, D.C. in a Unite the Right to Rally.
That was yesterday.
I'm just reading what he wrote, right? Mm-hmm. So this was published August 12th. Today is the 13th.
That was my birthday.
Commemorating the one-year anniversary when their bigoted brethren shouted racist anti-Semitic slogans while carrying tiki torches at a nighttime rally and killed an anti-fascist protester by hitting her with a car.
And her name is Heather Heyer.
Wait, hold on.
Just putting it out there.
Okay.
So last year's Unite the Rally was organized by Jason Kelsler, a member of Proud Boys, the alt-right Western. Oh, somebody help me out with this word. Chauvinism?
Chauvinism.
Chauvinism. Chauvinism. Group founded by Islamophobic, transphobic Gavin McInnes. At today's Unite the Right 2 rally, two speakers are also Proud Boys. Thankfully, Twitter recently reduced the group's reach by banning the Proud Boys Twitter account and also Gavin McInnes' Twitter account for 2 days while Twitter finally... and in the end, the author basically states that Twitter finally did something right, and I agree. It's like,
wait, hold on, but why are they fucking banning these people? Not that they shouldn't, they should, but why have they not banned Trump?
Well, that's the president. The president can shut them down. I mean, you know, it's the president.
But can he though?
Hashtag not my president. But anyway, so here's the thing, right? We believe in freedom of speech.
Wait,
we believe.
Tally it up. Sorry, I missed
thank
it.
You.
Oh, I wasn't paying attention.
We believe that there are for our right, our constitutional right to be able to speak freely and speak openly about things that are near and dear to us and things that affect us, and to fight back when we see things that are wrong. You know, and they have just as much right to be able to spew and say whatever it is, but note that there are consequences to the words that come out of our mouths, right? And one of those consequences was that Twitter finally, as Daniel noted, did the right thing and banned their Twitter accounts for 48 hours to prevent them from further spreading this hateful bullshit that they're constantly spreading out there about, you know, Islamic people, people of the Islamic faith, our transgender brothers and sisters, and members of the LGBT community. I think that it's important to note that although you have freedom to say whatever it is that you want to say, that you need to understand that there are consequences to the words that you choose and the actions that you take. As many of these people who marched a year ago ended up finding out when they started losing their jobs and all this other stuff. I think it's very important to know that if you're going to go out there and be a dick, just be ready for the consequences.
And it's important to point out again that this was the Unite the Right 2 rally that took place yesterday in our nation's capital. Also important to point out that some 24 of these bigots showed up in the Capitol.
And there was a huge anti-protest.
Absolutely. Yes. They were outnumbered in the hundreds and hundreds, yet only about 24 or so people showed up for this.
And just to make everybody understand, too, that we want to hate Gavin McInnes a little bit more, I just want to read to you what he has referred to trans people as. And I can't say one of the words, but you'll understand when I get there. So he has referred to trans people as gender and words, referring to the Black community. He's also referred to them as mentally ill gays. And he has called Muslims a bunch of interbreeding rapists. So this is definitely a person that probably should be banned from Twitter. And I'm all
and
about
Facebook.
Freedom of speech. But we're in muddy waters now, right? So we talk about freedom of speech. So he should be allowed to preach and say whatever the fuck he wants to say. But what is that line? When do we draw that line? When do we draw the hate line? Because you can't say bomb on an airplane, right?
No, you can't. But
it's,
you know,
inciting violence, that's when it you lose that right.
Well, and these things I don't necessarily think incite violence, but they do incite hate,
right?
Which in turn incites violence.
Oh, well, of course. I mean, you're targeting a specific demographic of the citizens of the United States, right? Black people, Latinos, people of color,
gay people,
transgender people. You're targeting specific groups and making it not okay for us to be who we are when there's nothing wrong with us to begin with.
Mm-mm.
You know, you just don't agree with our ideals, and that's fine. You have that right, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you get to cast us aside or push us aside and tell us that we're less or less worthy because you deem it so.
But hold
on. You can go suck a dick.
You know, and it's funny that you say less worthy, because I just want to go back to what Chris said. 24 versus hundreds of people.
Mm-hmm.
They are less worthy.
Right. Well, I mean, there are so many different factions in the white nationalists. You know, when you have the neo-Nazis and the KKK. I mean, if you look, first of all, how stupid do you look when you follow someone whose title is the Grand Wizard? That is the person. That is the highest ranking person in the Ku Klux Klan.
He has no
the
magic.
The Grand Wizard. First okay. of all, fucking ridiculous.
I'm waiting for Harry Potter to pop out. But anyway.
Second of all, I think it's great that these nationalists showed up in such abysmal, as Tom would put it, numbers. I think that's fantastic, and they were, you know, outshadowed by an exponential amount. But I don't think that it should be looked take this should be taken lightly, that this threat is over. And I was listening to NPR earlier, and I agree with it completely. I feel that because there are so many factions in the white supremacists, that they haven't, it's just like the Republican Party and kind of now like the Democratic Party. They're not completely cohesive. So I wouldn't say that them not showing up means that they're not trying to push their message.
Or that they're done.
Or that they're done, because they are not done. I feel that they're going to be using social media as much as they can, though, of course, he was banned on Twitter. PayPal has been blocking PayPal and other payment agencies online have been blocking these groups from using them.
Alex Jones was blocked by a bunch
They're being reduced to using Bitcoin. They're having issues fundraising, and you know you need to raise a lot of money to spread this kind of hate. And by using Bitcoin, that's very difficult to transfer to actual money, our currencies. Mm-hmm. So
unless you go to other governments or other places where they could do that readily,
just talk to Paul Manafort; he can help you out with that stuff. But I don't think this threat is over. I think they're going to be working a little bit more behind the scenes. This looks great for us and many people who preach against hate, but they're still vermin and scum that need to, you know, we still have to keep eyes on them.
Well, you know, just to put it out there as well, in response, he has said that he is considering suing Twitter and added, and I quote, "All this stuff is part of the conservative purge, getting the right off social media to try to stop Trump from getting reelected. He's already won. The ship has sailed. I think that we have zero effect on my reach. I think it will have zero effect on my reach or on the Proud Boys. We will always come back."
Why are they called the Proud Boys?
Because they're proud of hating you. That's how I'm taking it.
You know, they're proud to be white. They're proud to be
white. Yeah, they're proud to be white.
I am sick and tired of heterosexuals taking pride from us.
Back off.
Like, she literally didn't say Pride Boys. She said Proud Boys because she needed to take it from us. Like, what the fuck? Seriously? Well,
you know, another thing that was noted in the story is, too, that, you know, Twitter's banning of Gavin McInnes' Twitter account and the Proud Boys' Twitter accounts came barely a week after the platform refused to ban right-wing conspiracy theorist Alex Jones of InfoWars.
Well, I can put out there that Gavin McInnes, or whatever his name is, he looks like John Smith from the Titanic. So please go down with your ship, too.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
But Alex has been banned from a lot of other platforms as of current. So,
well, I mean, again, you know, things are happening, right? Things are being put in motion. We have an election coming up tomorrow, by the way. If you're listening or watching on our live stream and you're within the Connecticut boundaries, tomorrow is our primary election. Make sure that you go out there and exercise your right to select the person that's going to best represent each party in the upcoming general elections for our midterms.
Are you two voting?
I am voting, of
course. I've got to go tomorrow.
I will be out there tomorrow.
About it.
Absolutely.
So I
will. Luckily, it's right around the corner from my house.
Yeah, mine's school is right down the street. So
I can't.
Why? You can still vote in your old district.
No, I'm an independent.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I can't vote
in the primary.
You suck. Pick a party, damn it.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because the only reason I register as Democrat, even though I'm clearly a Democrat, is because I want to vote in the primaries.
Yeah, I switched for the presidential one. But no, yeah, I wasn't going to. I didn't feel comfortable voting for the primary, like switching just to do that. I didn't feel comfortable with it.
But it picks the best possible candidate. Well, you could help in that process.
I'll let the Democrats figure that out.
And then you're just going to contend with whatever we have.
Well, then I'm going to vote for whoever's the better candidate.
Wait, I thought you can't vote. I thought it was
we have closed primaries.
We have closed primaries. So you have to
local officials.
Yes.
Yeah. You have to.
I thought that was just for.
Just to vote in a primary, you have to be part of the party.
Yeah. See,
but in general, no.
I don't understand that. That should change, I think, personally.
I agree. I think it should. I think that you should be able to walk into a polling place and vote whether you're Democrat or Republican on the spot.
You're an American citizen. You should.
Here's a list of all the possible candidates. Here's the party they represent. Vote. It should completely be open.
I think it, I agreed with that because I didn't feel like I needed to switch when I did for the primary. But like one reason I can think about is there can be, you know, conspiracies behind it. There can be these people who are, because at that point, do you get to go in and decide which party you get to vote for? Can you only vote for one? What if you are
I can go
leaning
in as a Democrat and vote for a Republican?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So let's say we're one of the states who has an open primaries where anyone can vote. And let's say you are a staunch Democratic voting person.
Don't
and you
ever
walk
use
in,
the word staunch when referring to me ever again, but go on.
And you walk in and you are voting for the best pick for the Democrats, but you keep voting for the worst picks for the Republicans, and it's and many people go in to do that, and it tips it. You know what I'm going at?
Yeah.
That's
I mean,
why
that
I feel like they want the exclusiveness. Like, if you're a Democrat, you're going to be voting for the best interest of our party while not imposing on the worst interest for the opposing party.
Right, but say you're an independent.
Correct.
And you register as one or the other so that you can then tilt the scales.
Well, that's another reason why I think, too, that there is not a good turnout during midterm elections or even primaries is because of the restrictions that we have on our independent voters. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't have to switch. You should be able to walk in and say, I want to caucus with the Democrats for this vote, right, and not have to think, oh, wait, I have to do this 3 months in the month of March before the primaries. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I may not be able to vote.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I understand that. I understand both sides of it. I understand that.
Anyway, so that's that. I'm happy that Twitter banned this idiot and those Proud Boys as well, because there's nothing proud about them. Nothing to be proud of, not even your parents, but anyway. But that being said, maybe we can squeeze in one more story before our break.
Let's keep it on the theme.
All right.
I'll take this one.
So, Christopher, go right ahead.
Because we're talking about voting. Mm-hmm. This is an article I found on The Advocate. About 78,000 transgender people without identification or documentation that accurately reflects their gender are at risk of losing their ability to cast ballots in states with strict voter identification laws. These states particularly are Alabama, Georgia, Indiana, Kansas,
no surprise,
Mississippi, Tennessee, Virginia, and Wisconsin, the only one who makes itself up north being Wisconsin. But looking at these states down south who don't either recognize...
Basically anything under the Mason-Dixie line.
Dixon.
I know. I always want to say it to
Dixie,
him.
Dixie. I like
it's
Dixie.
It's the Mason-Dixon line. But
Mason-Dixie.
But the issue here is for these states that don't... Especially if you look back to North Carolina with the HB2 law, mm-hmm, where they're saying that you need to use a restroom that coincides with your... gender on your birth certificate. Now, with states that have laws against you changing the gender on your license, this is going to make it impossible for you to vote. And the thing, what it comes down to when you're voting at these booths in those states or the states that have very strict voter identification laws, there it comes down to the person who... the officials who are volunteering there to look at your ID, and if they don't feel comfortable with your ID being a proper identification of who you are, they can deny you to vote.
Oh,
I will cut
a bitch.
Can I ask you
why? I will remove all my makeup, tie my hair back, and bitch, yes, that's me.
I feel like I'm looking at this article for the first time, and it says here that trans people of the most vulnerable members of the trans community are likely to face highest barriers to voting in the upcoming midterm elections. Right. Trans people of color, young adults, students, mm-hmm, and those with low incomes and disabilities are at risk to be disenfranchised in November. Now, why are they segregating the trans community? Do they think that, like, literally, are they now pulling out race and age and
not necessarily, right? So you have the situation where people may be transitioning, and right, so the male picture on their driver's license may look nothing with what their current appearance may be now.
So if they haven't gotten a new license, is what they're saying.
If they don't have the proper identification that identifies them as they are, the poll workers can dismiss them from voting. So,
because they can say, you don't look like the person on this ID.
This is not you. I can't verify this is you from looking at it. So you are not allowed to vote today. Hmm. And with that happening, that's with people of the LGBT community being turned away from voting. We're not going to be able to vote to put officials in who are a voice for us, who will speak for us. Right. So this will only continue.
Well, it's also really important to note, too, like getting the new IDs for individuals that are transgender, it's very hard. Going through that process right. for a lot of these people, they mm-hmm. will walk in and they'll be turned away or they'll be ignored or they won't get the actual things that they need to get done. I mean, you saw it, if we go back to Queer Eye, you saw it with the one transgender episode they had where literally it took Karamo taking this transgender male into the DMV and sitting there with cameras to make sure that he got his new license.
And
and he had been denied before.
Right. And that shows why, you know, people of color, young adults, students, and those with low incomes or disabilities are at risk. Because, you know, if you have a disability, it's hard to get to these places. If you have low income, it's hard to pay for these
things.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Well,
you also have to keep in mind that a lot of these voter ID requirements are processes and things that are instituted to discourage people of color, people who are poor, people who are brown, people who mm-hmm. are Spanish, people who are low income or can typically go Democrat from voting, period. So, I mean, it's a catch-22. Not only is there an ID law that can affect a very large portion of our community, it is also discouraging other voters that could potentially help us set things right come the midterm elections.
And it's so important to get out there and vote. And if you look at Ohio mm-hmm. with the special election they just had,
yep.
how close?
Not even a full point.
And it's not even called yet.
It's not even decided yet.
But that goes to show that this particular part of Ohio that has voted Democrat, voted Republican
for
been
the
represented
past 26 years.
Excuse me. You are right. The fact that it's at a point where they still can't even call the race a week later. Yeah.
Well, they have 10 days to do so only because they're waiting for provisionary votes.
Right, of course.
That are coming in. Right. People who submitted applications for blah, whatnot. So there's a lot of votes that haven't been counted. And by law, they have to count those votes.
Right. And it's still more likely than not that the Republican is going to win now with those mail-in. It's more likely than not. But still, this is a victory.
Of course, it is. We're like, not even a full point away from literally
flipping a seat
that has been Republican for 26 years.
And that guy is going to be shitting his pants because they're going back at it in November.
They have to go back at it in November. And let me tell you, so as I said before, you know, it's bad enough that we don't really get the full turnout during primaries, right? Because of independent voters, etc. So when the electorate can actually go out there and vote and do in full swing, full force, this could be a possibility that this is going to be a huge upset for the mm-hmm. Republican Party, for that district and many others just like it.
Mm-hmm.
So
agreed.
Literally a margin of 1,564 votes.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane.
They're not going to declare it until the 24th of August. This
right.
is
and
crazy.
Granted, the Democrat, blanking on his name, O'Connor. I believe it's O'Connor.
A Republican mm-hmm. Rick Saccrone and Democrat Connor Lamb.
Lamb was
that's wrong
Virginia.
Race.
That was Pennsylvania.
No, I'm literally reading in Ohio.
Connor Lamb?
No, it was O'Connor was the guy's last name.
Yeah.
Danny O'Connor.
Thank you.
Yeah. Like, Connor Lamb was
Republican
Pennsylvania.
Troy Balderson.
Yeah, Balderson. That's
Democrat
it.
Yep. Danny O'Connor.
Shit. And now because we went on that little rant of correcting him, I forgot what my next thing was going to be. Either way, it's going to be this is a big win for the Democrats.
So either way.
Oh, I remember now. O'Connor, he won in Franklin County. That's the one county that he actually won. And it's interesting because what the Democrats were saying, the day before the vote, the Republican came out and said, we can't have someone from Franklin County represent us. And the Democrats were hoping that they had more time to run against what he said and turn that, like, you know, you're just turning on Ohioans. Like, you're just saying, of course, we want to be represented from, doesn't matter where you're from in Ohio, if you're here to represent us, you're here to represent us. We don't care. We won't discriminate that. And that's what they can run on.
You know, I can
Ohio.
Tell you, Republicans have been very fortunate that a lot of the turbulent stories that have been coming out regarding everything that's happened have happened at a point in time and where they can't really, where the Democratic Party can't really use this as ammunition because it's so close to point in time and where it would be critical to help.
Right.
And usually it either comes out after or before. case in point, what has happened with the idiot that we have in office, you know, all of the shit that he's been doing, it's all coming out afterwards, right? And I think that if a lot of this stuff was confirmed and came out before, that it would have probably tilted the playing field a lot more towards the Democratic side rather than the Republican side, and he would have probably never been president.
Well, what's interesting, too, though, you have to look at this whole section. So you have Ohio and Pennsylvania. They're part of this new what's called the Rust Belt, right? Uh-huh. The working class.
Right. Yeah.
And they were all expected to go Democrat. These areas were expected to go Democrat. They went Republican. They went for Make America Great Again. Right. And now you're looking at these special elections and how close they are and how it really shows you how divided our nation is right now. Mm-hmm. Because these Rust Belt states that went this way are now fighting to like half and half. They want change and they don't see it happening.
Well, you know, another thing that's happening too is these trade wars that we currently with all these nations.
They want change and they're getting change and it's change for the worse for
it's
them.
It's change for the worse because trade wars are affecting these states in where manufacturing is big.
Yeah.
The steel
and
the
agriculture.
Steel tariffs, oh, of course. Agriculture, manufacturing, steel production.
You're right, but
it's insane.
I think we are not looking at, I think Trump is outsmarting us a little bit here because I think his taxes and his tariffs that he's putting on these industries, they're going to make a huge difference. All of these countries import so much to us, mm-hmm. and we're going to stop buying from them because we can't afford it. 80% or 75% increases for our steel or lumber. We mm-hmm. can't afford that.
But
most
the reason
companies,
why
wait,
those tariffs
listen,
are there.
Listen.
Okay.
Most companies can't afford stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So what's going to happen when we're not importing the stuff that they're selling to us?
We have to make it.
No. They're gonna make a change on their end. They're going to cut their expenses on their end because we need those things and we make them money by ordering those things.
Of course, but they also need things from us that we produce here, and these tariffs
but they're still ordering
are
them.
Working both ways. China, for example, has now.
So what do you think they're going to what do you think China's going to do?
China is fighting back. They're saying, you're going to put tariffs on this, or we're going to put tariffs on this.
The tariffs aren't going to change. So what is China eventually going to do?
The tariffs can change. What's happening is
the tariffs can change, but do you think Trump will change them? No.
No.
So what's going to eventually happen? China will do what?
They'll deal with other nations. They don't have to deal
with
the
U.S. There's no other nation than the United States that wants everything and builds and uses everything from all these other...
You have many developed nations, Nicholas.
Yeah, but do you think that Trish. we take most of all of those resources into America?
Not necessarily.
Probably
all of them.
50 yeah. to 75%.
Yeah. You have nations, for example, like Germany. You have nations like the United Kingdom. You have nations
and
they're in
all,
South America.
And they're all Europe. Those are European nations, right?
Yeah, and they have trade deals.
All I'm saying is that, yes, these tariffs are crazy.
They're horrible.
They are horrible because they are fucking the people right now. But in the long run, I think the long game here makes sense.
When it comes to trade wars, it's all war of attrition. They're all waiting out. It's a waiting mm-hmm. game. That's exactly what it is. And what China is doing is they're hitting the products in the places that voted Donald Trump. They are hitting his base mm-hmm. in their pocket.
So
that's their tactic. Now, Canada is meeting with the eastern provinces of Canada are meeting with the premiers of those provinces are meeting with the governors of New England states as we speak to discuss this while NAFTA negotiations are their due date is coming up. Mm-hmm. So Canada is actually being proactive with New England governors. Mm-hmm. To try to work something out while these tariffs are taking place.
And you also have to take into account there's a long, like, when we buy things, we're getting charged for all of this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time, we weren't charging anybody for everything that we were putting out or bringing in. So he's increasing these taxes and tariffs because people are benefiting off us and we're not benefiting off them.
So when you're a nation that has the most and you have the most to give, you give.
We don't. We're in debt. We owe every country money.
But what is the perception around the world?
That Trump is our president and we're fucked?
No. Well, that's a main one and a very important one. The main perception of the world is we're the leaders, right? America is
the most powerful
nation in the world, right? And it is so because of the influence that it has on other nations.
I'm not saying that Trump is right. All I'm saying is that he is running this country like a business and not a country.
Right.
So he's looking at it in a different way than we are. Mm-hmm. He's looking at it like, these people have been making money off us and we've been being screwed. Right. So this is how I'm going to make a change. It's a power move.
And that's important to do.
Yeah.
If we're getting fucked, we need to get unfucked.
And we've been getting fucked. Just like NATO, we've been funding the whole thing. Why are we funding the whole thing?
No. That's a misconception. We have not been funding the entire thing.
We're paying the absolute most.
We're paying a very large portion of the bill for NATO. But the reason why we were doing that is because of the issues with the Baltic states and a lot of what happened when the Cold War ended and Russia disbanded. Right, Soviet Union, which then ended up being Russia, but a lot of these Baltic states that couldn't absorb that astronomical amount of money that it would take to be part of this coalition, which to me is very important.
We pay 70-90% of it.
Absolutely, no, it's no.
But it was important, and the reason why it was started, it was at the behest of the U.S.
And we need NATO. It needs to be restructured. Bleeding money.
They wanted to stabilize that part of the world and not allow Russia to gain the traction or the amount of power that they had at one time. No, they don't have. The only reason why they have that much power now is because they're doing stupid shit to influence other people inadvertently or not through elections. But Russia really doesn't have power. Russia's just being a dick and being what Russia is.
If Russia didn't have any power, our elections wouldn't have been fucked with. France's elections wouldn't have been fucked with. Thank God they have a rule where they shut things down and Macron won, but...
Absolutely.
If they didn't have power...
And we would hopefully maybe be seeing a closer end in the conflict in Syria.
What, Russia?
Oh my God. This got so political.
No, Russia Russia doesn't have power. What Russia is doing is they're hijacking and literally blackmailing half of the world's powers in order to gain power.
And it's not. If you can hack... And interfere in every single...
China can do it.
Exactly.
Japan
so you're saying we're a major power, but if they have the power to hack and influence every other major country in the world, honey, that's power. And
it's not power. I will tell you this, though. The fact that our president has refused to come out...
I know. He should come out of the closet.
We don't want him on our side.
They can kill him.
No.
As a drag queen.
Not even. That's one drag queen I would not even give a dollar to. But the fact that...
A Canadian dollar, because it hurts when you throw it at them.
Oh my God, didn't we talk about that? Drag shows in Europe?
Yeah.
Everything's changed. Yeah. So how do you throw a dollar?
I said that when I went to a drag show in Canada. I was like, whip a fucking loony at her head? Like, make a paper airplane with it. Right. There you just whip it at them.
I was going to try to make a point, but obviously it's useless because these two are just lovely, dovely. I'm just going to cut them at some point. But anyway, I think we should take a break. What do you think, guys?
Yeah, it's been an hour.
All right, so...
All this talking about economy is making me need a cocktail.
I need a cocktail. I need a cigarette. I need something. I just need something. But either way, we're going to play some music, and we will be back.
My head gets caught in the moment, but my heart doesn't know it. Heart doesn't know it. Somehow I'm lost in the lonely, but it's too hard to show it. Too hard to show. You are the one to make me think twice, and you are the one.
right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, from the break. That was Dance With Me by the incredible Davis Mallory. He was somewhere. He's in Tel Aviv right now. He posted on Facebook. And so we had our little break. We refreshed our cocktails. We're back on the table. We've still got some stories that we would like to cover. So Chris and I got an opportunity to really talk about our two stories that we had. Nick had a story as well, but we went to break and now we're back. And so we're going to just kick it off to our great apprentice, Trish, over here on the other side.
I'm an apprentice?
What She's still learning.
She's still learning.
She's still learning.
And we're going to let her talk about her story or him or his story or Nick. I don't know. Who's here tonight?
What? I'm still learning.
So that was my attempt at fucking with her head, right? Because she's just been in a daze all weekend because it's her birthday. So
it's a rosé daze. Rosé all day.
All right. So being that you are now refreshed and refilled and ready to go, what are we talking about?
We're talking about the New York Yankees.
Ah.
So obviously my father's from New York. I grew up, my parents, my whole family, they're Yankees fans. It's actually kind of weird because my dad's a Yankees fan and a Jets fan. Usually it's Yankees and Giants and whatever. It doesn't matter. But anyway, we're Yankees and Jets fans. But Yankees have not really done anything for Pride. And so we've seen more and more sports teams do Pride events during Pride Month and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been getting a little bit of heat. That being said, the New York Yankees have always been a huge supporter of the LGBTQ community. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So finally they came out and said that they're going to do something next year. So they're planning events for Pride Month of June. And that is the month, that is the year that we're doing the World Pride in New York for the 50th of Stonewall.
Because it's coming up.
Mm-hmm. So they've decided, no one really knows what it's going to be. They have all these plans, I guess, but no one really knows what these events are going to be. But they are planning to do some type of Pride event or events surrounding the Stonewall 50th anniversary. Which is amazing.
The fact that they took the time to even say, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to prep. And in some way, shape, or form, we're going to honor the LGBT community. Because let's face it, the LGBT community is a massive part of New York City.
Absolutely.
It always has been. And it will continue to be. It is, you know, when I think of New York City, San Francisco, places like London, these are the heart of where most of our big fights, most of our big efforts to bring forward rights for the LGBT community started. And so it would be fitting for a team, especially one out of New York City or the New York area, to be the one to say, hey, we're going to move forward with this.
And, you know, it's kind of annoying, though, at the same time, because you think about the Yankees. They have their own fucking network. Like, literally, they are one of the richest teams in the nation. They do so much and they've done nothing publicly like for Pride, like other places like Boston has, like the Boston Red Sox,
who also have their own network.
Mm-hmm.
But still, Yankees are
step it up, Yankees. That's basically what we said.
No, they're the richest team. Like, they have all the money and they had the first network. Like, and it's just surprising that it took them this long to actually say, okay, we're going to stand up in 2020 and do something for the Stonewall, for the 50th of Stonewall.
Well, one of the other things, too, that, you know, we have to throw out there, you know, I want to give props to, for example, the Boston Red Sox and other teams that have been, lately we have been seeing a lot of gay men chorus singing the national anthem at a lot of games. Locally here, we had the what do we call our yard goats? Is that what they are?
The yard goats, yeah.
The Hartford one?
I think they changed their name, though.
I thought they were the yard goats or something like that.
They are the yard goats.
But either way, the Connecticut game, Connecticut.
But they're minor league.
They're minor league, yeah. Yes. But the Connecticut Gaiman's Chorus actually went and did a rendition of the Star Spangled Banner, which was just unbelievably amazing. And again, you had the Boston. The Boston Gay Men's Chorus that did their rendition of the Star Spangled Banner at the Boston Red Sox game one night. And I think that that visibility in itself, it's saying that, look, we're here, we're patriotic, we are also Americans. We just happen to be part of the LGBT community and giving people in our community a spotlight.
But also there's a whole element. So something about this article. So obviously this article was not brought to you by unicornbooty.com, but it was brought to you by The Advocate, mm-hmm. By Ariel Sobel. And there is this one part in here that they're talking about where I don't know if you guys ever felt this, but I'm going to read a quote. So a lot of LGBT people in their childhood or adolescence were ostracized or felt trauma for not being accepted in the locker room as a part of physical education or in playing sports. That's why I think these types of events can be healing experiences as it relates to sports and their own identity. But it's so true. It's like when I was growing up and when I was in high school, changing in the locker room, and I played football, like it was hard. It wasn't hard. But it was hard because it's
keep things nice.
I'm trying to, but this bitch over here.
She said she was hard.
No, I said it was hard.
What was hard?
Anyway, I'm just saying, like, you feel awkward because everybody's mm-hmm. joking around and playing around in the locker rooms, and no, then you're like, hard. I cannot do that because I'm going to get excited. You know what I mean? And it's like one of those things. It's like, why do I feel this way? Why is this happening to me? Why am I in the locker room being like, oh, wow, I find this person attractive, and they're just, like, joking around and smacking each other with the towels, and you're like, don't do that to me because it's going to be on if you do that to me. But, like, the thing is, it's like, there are, like, having sports teams, even heterosexual males or females on sports teams come out and say, you know, we support this, and we want them to be a part of the sports community is so important so people can feel supported and safe in any type of environment.
I agree.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's all I had to say.
All right.
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
Cool. I have a feeling they're going to knock it out of the park.
Dad jokes. I hate you. But that was good. That was good. I'm proud of you. She finally got one in. It's about time. It's been like 4 weeks or so that Chris, one episode he was sick because he was hungover.
What?
So, yeah, you don't remember? Daddy Dragons episode?
Oh, when I was here. I thought you were referring to last here. Time I wasn't here.
That's what I'm saying. You said like, you weren't here. You were just like...
Yeah, it was not okay.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm glad to see that you're back.
I'm back.
Yay. Waiting for that freaking amazing cocktail.
Well, school's about to start, so...
and we're going to go back to that again. All right, so we still have some stories that we can talk about. I know that we're not going to make this a super long episode, but I will tell you, we've got some news, some good news in the realm of prep coming to you all the way from the amazing country of Mexico.
What's the country called?
Mexico.
I can't understand your accent. What's it called?
Mexico. You want me to say it in Spanish? Mexico.
Oh, Puñeta. You're talking about Mexico. Okay, gotcha.
I'm going to cut
What's him. Mexico?
It's not a place.
I didn't think so.
Just right? kidding to all of our Mexican listeners. I'm just calling out Tommy because, you know. Because.
Just because I'm Latino does not necessarily mean that I have to pronounce everything
it's
in
pronounced
Spanish.
Latino.
I'm going to cut him.
Latino?
I'm going to cut him.
Honey, Tommy is anything but Latino. Dad joke.
No, that was just a fat joke, and that was mean.
You're right. I am fat and plumpy, and I love it. But anyway, so there's a lot of good news coming out of Mexico. This week, an international AIDS conference, which is taking place in Amsterdam, the IMPREP project was presented. It's PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis. Implementation program that would be rolled out in Brazil and will now be in Peru and Mexico, serving as a preliminary step. Words are hard.
Proud of you, though.
For the launch of a comprehensive PrEP services in both countries. And I think this is amazing because, you know, as you know, we've had the opportunity to interact with PrEP now for the past 6 or 7 years. It is a life-saving drug. It is a drug that's helping our war, right, with AIDS and HIV. And preventing further infections from happening and hopefully being able to eradicate AIDS from the world once and for all. And I think that this is an important step. A lot of people don't realize that AIDS cases or cases of HIV in Latin American countries are at an astronomical high. I can only assume, and this is stupid of me to say, but I'm going to say it anyway because that's just how I am. We're just too fucking horny to just keep our dicks in our pants. And so it's truth. It's truth. Latinos are like that. You know, we look for any opportunity to call it a day and have sex, go home. Yes. But.
Honey. All gay men are like that.
That being
said, I keep it in my pants.
You try. That being said,
except for when she's in Long Island.
Yeah. That being said,
on Long Island.
Did he?
Cut him. Cut him.
Did he?
Focus, ladies and gents, please. And what do you call that? When multiple personality person over here? Trish, Nick, we don't know who he is today.
She is on her birthday high.
I know. I love it. It's amazing. And she's drinking rosé, frozen, and popsicles.
Rosé all day.
Rosé. Yeah, that. But anyway, so HIV and AIDS has been very, very, very explosive in the Latino communities all over Central, South, and even in the Caribbean. So it is important that nations embrace this type of medication, which is extremely amazingly helpful in preventing infections. And it's very important to kindly remind our listeners that although you are on PrEP, there are other things that you can contract as a result of having unprotected sex.
Dude, I know so many people on PrEP, and I'm just like, why?
Not shaming anyone?
Like, here's the thing. I'm not on PrEP.
Uh-huh.
But I'm also really not that sexually active. So I'm sexually active when I want to be, but I'm also safe in those situations, mm-hmm. right? And I know plenty of people that are similar to me in their sexual life, where they have plenty of sex, but it's always like in a controlled, healthy environment, and it's usually safe or always safe. Why would I take PrEP every day?
If you are going to engage in safe sex, right, and you're very adamant about protecting yourself and using protection, then it may not be an expense that you have to go out there and buy and be on PrEP. Mm-hmm. But if you are going to be engaging in sexual activities and where you're not protecting yourself by using condoms, then, you know, you need to go on PrEP. It is
I agree. I just think it's interesting that you find – so, like, for example, like, I know people that – aren't really sexually active that take PrEP on the regular. And
it's also a thing too, right? It's the thing to do. Oh.
But but beyond that, it's like we lived in a world for so long where you were like afraid of dying from AIDS.
Mm-hmm. But that didn't stop you from having sex.
Now you can just take a pill.
Well, yes, you can take a pill. But
which you should do if you're sexually active. Get on Truvada.
Well, you have to look at the many angles of things that can happen, right? If you're on PrEP, right, sexually transmitting HIV is not the only way that you can acquire HIV, right? You can do so by blood-to-blood transfer or any type of bodily fluid transfer that comes in contact with an open cut, right?
So if you like blood play, for example?
Or if you're, for example, let's say you were getting fisted and your partner who's fisting you happens to have a cut on his fingernail, and now he's literally putting his fist in your anus, and he could potentially transfer HIV to you if you didn't know that he was HIV positive. So the fact that you're being protected does not necessarily mean that you can or cannot be exposed to the virus in any other way. Mm-hmm. So if you're
getting fisted.
Not just fisted. She's being bitchy with me right now, isn't she? I'm going to cut her.
I'm going to step out of this conversation. Listen,
if you're going to put yourself in a situation and where you are sexually active and you're not using the other known ways of protecting yourself against the virus, then PrEP is the way to go. But this is also, again, I want to focus on the story. This is about Mexico or Mexico, as you would expect.
I didn't understand that first. Got it now.
Oh, God. Or South America, Mexico, Puerto Rico, a lot of the Caribbean nations. The Latino America tends to be a bit out of the loop when it comes to a lot of the medical advances that exist today in helping reduce the amount of HIV cases that are produced on a daily basis.
I mean, I agree with you 100%.
Good.
Just throwing the curveball today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's just being nasty.
So use condoms, take PrEP, unless you're pegging. Then you're good.
Remind me again, what's pegging?
Remember, it's when a woman with a person with female genitalia wears a strap-on and puts it into a person with male genitalia.
But even then, you're still risking. So put a condom on it.
Okay. So even if you're pegging.
Yes.
Wrap it up.
All right. Or take PrEP. Or take PrEP. That's all. It's a good thing. It's a good story. It's an amazing, progress, especially in a community or in a demographic of people that tend to expose themselves to risky sexual behaviors more often than other demographics.
Can I bring something up that's not in the notes?
Yes.
All right. So I have a question for both of you.
Sure.
So I've been harping on this a lot lately, mm-hmm. about homosexuality in film. And why you see heterosexuals playing homosexual roles.
Okay.
And how
that's been a big, huge issue, especially among transgender folks and people who are playing transgender roles that are not.
Exactly. But there's also the flip side that I haven't thought about. And recently, Colton Haynes came out with a couple statements. I'm just going to read one for you. So Hollywood is a very odd place. I've been here for 12 years. I just pray that the LGBTQ+ community gets more chances to star in roles. We have had amazing trailblazers and people who've made it through the criticism, thank God. It doesn't have to be me, but this town is run by our community. He goes on to say, just because you like the same sex doesn't mean you can't carry yourself in a film. It's not just the LGBT+ community, but it's also people of color and minorities. Give mm-hmm. us all a chance. So I'm wondering here, so why do you think it is that so many gay actors, both female and male, and transgender actors, both female and male, they're not even getting cast in heterosexual roles or homosexual roles? Like, what is happening there?
Okay, so when you look at organizations or corporations or whatever you want to call them, like Hollywood, for example, right? They're in the business of making movies, and they're in the business also of making money. And in order to bring money in, you have to bring people or use people that have star power, that have drawing power. You have to be able to bring the bucks. When you're thinking about creating a role, like Scarlett Johansson recently actually pulled out of a film after she received a lot of criticism for wanting to play a transgender person in a film. Mm-hmm. So I personally think that she didn't engage that in any way, shape, or form to put down the transgender community and say, you can't even play your own roles. I think it was more...
She was offered a role and then turned it down when she got the, you know...
Well, she got... Obviously, there was a lot of slack. She got a lot of heavy, like, shit for it. But I think that she was offered the role because she could bring the star power and also the economic sense to make a film of such sort and bring it to the big screen and make money.
But we've also seen her in movies where she's played, like, crazy characters and she's nailed it. So it's like, so I get that that's a great casting for the role. But again, why are homosexual or anybody in the LGBTQ+ community not being cast in either heterosexual roles or homosexual roles? I don't get it.
So you're saying
there are plenty. There, like, just like Colton Haynes, there are plenty of homosexuals and or lesbians and or transgender famous people that have that quality, have that name, have that backing that could hold themselves in a film. Yet they're not being cast. You see heterosexual after heterosexual being cast, just like in Love, Simon. He's not gay, and that movie was amazing, and I love it. But he was cast. Chris?
Okay, well, here's my thing with it, because I think it's absurd when people are saying that straight people can't play gay characters.
Vice versa.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's the point. And, you know, one big name, Neil Patrick Harris, you know, mm-hmm. he played a womanizer on How I Met Your Mother, and he's an openly gay man married with children. Is it on your application when you audition for a role to disclose your sexuality?
No, but,
I think
but you're,
that may be
no. I that was that's
no,
a, like a
no. You're right.
Rhetorical question.
You're 100% right. But then you have people like Colton Haynes who has the balls to come out and has yet to be cast in a big movie.
Well, then I think it goes.
But I will say this. Okay, fine. So he comes out, and just because he comes out and he's visible does not necessarily mean that he may have the qualifications nor the look that they're looking for, talent. The type of actor or the talent that they're looking for.
What I really think it is I think it comes to when it comes to people who are casting mm-hmm. and producing these films, when it comes to casting a gay person or someone from the LGBTQ community, perhaps they have that mentality, especially if it's a leading role, I don't want to touch this one with a 10-foot pole. Like, is it going to risk our sales of this film by bringing in a gay person? And I don't think that's right, but the only reason I say that is because look at the outcries after Beauty and the Beast came out,
mm-hmm.
when they had the gay character, and so many people were...
Gaston, it was that...
Lumiere, not Lumiere. It doesn't matter.
I think there were boycotts for that film over mm-hmm. that, so maybe it's something that they're like, is this... for which is not even a controversial topic, is this controversial topic too much of a risk?
But hold on, so
financially,
I'm thinking. I'm gonna produce a controversial film.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna produce Love, Simon about a gay kid who's coming out of the closet,
and that's why you go independent. That's why you don't go to Hollywood. Because again,
are you kidding me? That's the first Hollywood blockbuster that was like massive for the entire gay
community.
But
I don't understand why. But then it comes down to my first point again, was your sexual orientation on the application. Perhaps the person who got the role was the best actor for the role.
You're right. I'm not saying that they're not the best actor for the role or not the best actor for the role. What I'm saying is continually there is an inequality of heterosexuals being cast in homosexual roles and homosexuals not being cast in heterosexual roles continuously.
And that will probably continue to happen. Again, to me, it's all about the money, mm-hmm. right? And it's all about hiring the actor that can bring in the bucks. And if that actor happens to be straight, they're going to go after that
but
actor.
But Colton Haynes is... sorry, you're right. You're right. Keep going.
But here's something that I notice a lot in gay characters that are casted in movies, right? So you have a lot of straight people playing a lot of transgender roles. Felicity Huffman played a transgender woman on a series. You have, for example, Scarlett Johansson, who was going to be casted to play a transgender individual on a movie. She later said, no, I don't want to do it because of the backlash. But one thing I notice in a lot of the gay movies that are being produced, that a lot of the actors, even if they were gay, are actors that sort of kind of pass. Right? They're not flamboyant. Mm-hmm. They're not super gay. And the only cast super gay, flamboyant, feminine men playing gay roles is when it calls specifically for that.
Right.
I'll give you an example. The movie, another gay...
Not another gay movie?
But that's not a mainstream movie.
Not a mainstream movie, but I will tell you this. So when you look at the characters that who played, right, all the characters that played in that movie, a lot of them are straight passing. Right? They're not feminine.
There's like one straight passing.
There's a lot of them that played in that movie that are not effeminate. And there was only one. And that one was the trashy little crazy bitch that fucked the guy who won Survivor on season 1, who had to stick an enema up her ass and like literally like freaking like lived in the toilet for like mm-hmm. the whole movie. It's unfortunate, but what I'm seeing is a trend of a lot of like, it's almost like femme shaming. A lot of the casting that's done in movies that even are LGBT oriented. I see a lot of that.
So I agree with that. The femme shaming thing, I definitely agree, is a point of it. But also has to go with the producers. I mean, do you think Harvey Weinstein was going to hire a woman that was gay and wouldn't suck his dick, or a man that's going to stand up for women's rights?
He wouldn't have done it, but...
Absolutely. I'm saying so it also comes down to some of these producers. These are the biased ones.
So I bring this all up.
Why?
Because Ruby Rose, who I don't know if you know...
Ruby Rose is a beautiful...
Yes.
Beautiful, gorgeous...
She's an Australian actress.
Gorgeous. And when I tell you gorgeous, I mean, I would probably date her.
So she's been on Gotham. Mm-hmm. And she was recently cast as Batwoman.
She was also on Orange is the New Black.
Mm-hmm.
Season 2, I believe.
And she was recent, so she's a huge supporter of the LGBTQ plus mm-hmm. community. She's gender fluid. So she was cast as Batwoman. Now, in Batwoman in the comic books was portrayed as a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
And she literally had to cancel her Twitter account because she got so much backlash from the gay community about Batwoman being a lesbian and her not identifying as a lesbian. That being said, she's gender fluid and a huge supporter of the LGBTQ plus community. So I'm literally looking at all of these articles recently, and I'm just like so torn and confused as to what our community is trying to convey. And I'm like, look, this woman, she's gender fluid. She is one of those people that loves who she loves, which I think we need to embrace as a community. I also think that yes, Batwoman was portrayed as a lesbian and can still be in whatever series that she was cast in, which is the Arrowverse series on CW. But why are we going to attack her as a community when she's always stood by our community?
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I'm literally boggled. Like, this conversation that I brought up is because I'm my brain is fried. I don't get what we're trying to convey as a community.
So
are we combating the fact that we can't get roles, or when somebody does get roles that's gender fluid and doesn't necessarily identify as bi or gay or lesbian, we're going to attack them? Like, what are we doing as a community? How are we trying to prevent this and change it and support whoever is cast in these roles that's supporting our community?
So, for those of you who are probably questioning, exactly like Nick and like myself and as Chris as well, because we were both sitting in the same situation before we had this amazing artist called Alok school us and teach us and tell us. Go back to our November episodes and look up the episode where Loke actually had an opportunity to sit with us. This artist was absolutely incredibly able to break it down as to why we attack each other in our communities, why we bring ourselves up, why we bring ourselves down. If we think about Alok, for example, is a non-gender conforming artist who does great work. They are out there doing amazing things in breaking down the social norms and trying to teach people that as a community we're fragmented, right? And that we live in our own little boxes. We've got our femmes, we've got our straight acting, we've got our butches, we've got our femme lesbians, mm-hmm. we've got our transgender folks, we've got all these other people, those that don't fit in within any of the typical popular umbrellas that we have in our community. Listen to that episode. Well, I think that you'll find an answer to what you're looking for.
See, I also think it's interesting, too, though, because she is a part of our community. She mm-hmm. identifies as gender fluid.
Mm-hmm. She's dated women. She's dated exactly. men. She's dated pretty much everything.
And we've had so many conversations recently about bisexuality. She mm-hmm. does not identify specifically as this or that, which I think is fine. There are people that will say it's a cop-out. But I don't think it's a cop-out anymore, because hearing these stories from these bisexual individuals has changed my point of view, right? Mm-hmm. And they're in this article that I'm talking about. When women, there's a quote here, I'm going to read it. So when women and when minorities join forces, we are unstoppable. Mm-hmm. When we tear each other down, it's much more hurtful than from any other group. I just wish women and the LGBT community supported each other more. My wish was we were all a little kinder and more supportive of one another, which is what we're always talking about. Like, why aren't we supporting this person who, yes, is taking a role of a lesbian character that's not identifying as lesbian, but is a part of our community? Why are we not so supportive of her? And then she goes on to say, if you need me, I'm taking a break from Twitter. I'll be on my bat phone.
I love it. She is. Listen, she's an amazing actress. She does great work. She's been very visible for our community, regardless of where she sits on the spectrum. It's a matter of semantics and what people, you know, people will always, I'm this, you're that. Yeah. We're going to, you know.
But I think it's important to say, it's like, you know, we're always talking about why we don't see more representation of the LGBTQ plus community in film and or TV or this. But let me just say right now that she is a part of our community and she is representing our community and she has a role and she's going to embrace that role and serve our community in the correct way.
But it's those attacks, right, against our own community members on each other, the reason why Philadelphia had to add two colors to the pride flag.
Oh, we're going back here.
No. I had to.
Shut my mic off.
Again, I don't think that I would need a flag that has two additional colors on it, but I don't fault them for trying to fix something that's wrong, right? That very question that you pose is the reason why certain groups feel that they need more inclusivity. That very reason why, that very same question that you asked today on the show is the reason why LGBTQ has grown to Q plus L and A and every acronym going straight down the entire alphabet is because we continuously attack each other from one spectrum to the other and try to put ourselves in boxes, not realizing that in the end, we need to support every single person that, even in its minute form, supports or shows any type of support for our community as a whole. Because it's only when we come together that we're going to be able to make the biggest impact. So,
did you get this all from that one story on The Advocate where a straight guy is playing Disney's first explicitly gay character?
No, actually, oh, I didn't even.
But that was
that.
The irony I saw. I saw it on, like, my feed.
No, I didn't even read that. Oh. No, these are two different things.
All right. So, on that note...
Holy hell.
It's,
I'm sorry.
It's been an amazing...
No, that's good. That's
very...
good. That's good, good questions. Good content.
So, you know, to our listeners, if you have any comments on anything that Nick has proposed and asked on the show, if you feel certain some kind of way regarding how Hollywood is treating our actors, our people of our community, let us know. We want to have an involved conversation to be able to talk about things that are really, really edgy right now, because this is a very edgy subject. I certainly have my opinions. We all have. Every single person on this table does.
And I'm looking at them because I know you're not going to call us.
Who?
All them listening to us.
Well, no, I'm just saying they're watching. They're not listening. Oh, well. Are you talking about our Patreons?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're watching.
We put our... What, they can't, there's no audio that comes with it?
Well, of course.
Oh, they're listening. So they're watching and listening. And okay. I was like, yeah, if you want to chime in, you know, call us.
Well, so, you know, just to remind everyone, we are live streaming on Patreon. So if you're not a Patreon supporter, you should be, because then you can watch us do all our craziness and me swinging my hands up in the air and punching this one and punching that one and loving them both equally. Mm-hmm. Not. But we're also, you know, of course, on iTunes and Google Play Music and all that good stuff. But we still have quite a few things to cover before we wrap it up. Do you guys want to do another story?
I'll save mine for next week.
Trish?
I'm good.
All right. So listen, so we're going to jump into our Gay Talk terms and, of course, on this day in gay history. So I'm going to kick it over to Trish for today's Gay Talk term.
Oh, I like it.
All right, everybody. So this week's Gay Talk term, of course, brought to you by
UnicornBooty.com.
Not really.
Is sporty.
Sporty?
Yeah, I love it.
Why sporty?
Because we were talking about sports earlier. Hashtag Yankees. Were.
All right. So
sporty. Willing to give homosexuality a try.
Yeah.
She's a sporty girl.
We were all sporty girls at one moment.
I know, but then we got hooked. But we've all had a sporty girl. Like,
actually, I don't think I've ever been with a woman.
That's not what I'm
saying. No, he's not talking about
that. I'm going to read this again to you. Sporty, willing to give homosexuality a try. We've all had a sporty girl.
Well,
so you know what it's like.
A sporty guy.
Yeah,
a sporty experience.
Well, yeah, he meant girl, like, you know. Like,
use it in a sentence.
I mean, I guess we can jerk off together, but maybe back to back kind of thing. And then, you get like, and then maybe, like.
I guess we could jerk off together, but maybe back to back. I hate you.
I'm just saying that, you know, when you think about willing to give homosexuality a try, I never was there. I knew that I was always gay. So
yeah, I know,
me,
but you always have your first experience and then you question it.
No.
I mean, actually, you're right. The first time I ever kissed a guy, I was like, holy fuck, that's right. That makes
it
sense.
It feels right. No, for me,
it was
never sporty. It's sporty for someone else who's not part of the community who may have tried it.
So,
right?
So did you have a sporty experience with somebody?
With a couple.
Not necessarily you being the sporty one.
Oh, of course. Many times.
Back to back?
Many times. Many times.
Wait, Chris, can you just say that one more time?
Anyway.
Whether you're willing to jerk off together, but maybe back to back.
Oh, I freaking love
all right, we
this.
Can try this, but just don't look me in the face, okay?
Exactly.
Back-to-back.
You know, reach arounds, maybe. You know, we'll talk about it.
Don't tell anybody about this in high school.
Absolutely.
No.
Okay, Christopher.
Anyway, so that was your Gay Talk term this week, of course, brought to you by UnicornBooty.com. We're all sporty.
Get there, but good. I like that one. Also, you know, of course, on this day in gay history, brought to you, of course, by
UnicornBooty.com.
Not really.
Yes, kind of. Radio talk show host came out on August 13th, 2010 from California. Stephanie Miller tells her audience on air that she is a lesbian, noting that she was inspired by singer Shelley Wright's coming out. Miller is the daughter of U.S. Representative William Miller, who is the running mate of conservative Barry Goldwater.
Ooh.
That didn't stop her from being who she was on the air. She's like, Daddy, I don't care.
So I'm looking at a picture here, and obviously our viewers on Patreon can't see it. Our listeners won't be able to see it. Maybe we'll post it on our post. What do you guys think? So when you look at this person, does she not look like the character that was in Beetlejuice, the mother?
Oh, you're thinking of
the actress who was the mother,
Catherine,
who was the mother in Home Alone.
It's kind of like, no, I know what you're talking about. I always blank on her name. Our listeners, a bunch of you are probably cringing right now because you know her name and we're forgetting it. But it kind of looks like she was merged with Winona Ryder from Beetlejuice too at the same time. Like they're just kind of schmooshed together.
It's weird.
Catherine or whatever, but yes.
It's Catherine O'Hara.
Catherine O'Hara. Thank you. You can all stop cringing now. We got there. We
Googled
her. But
yeah, she looks like her a little bit. So.
A little bit.
Okay, well. That's that. All right. So listen, we definitely need to
work
bring this
all
home.
Night on a drink of rum.
Daylight come and we wanna go home.
Best song ever. Harry Belafonte, you made it on the show.
He actually sings it at karaoke, which is hysterical. Mm. All right. So all right. So if you love the show, make sure that you rate and review on your favorite podcasting service. This helps you know anything about the show and ensures that it becomes more visible within our podcasting community.
Ooh, pun, because they could see us.
Of course. By subscribing to our show, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite. Ooh, I had a burp. Sorry. Right to your favorite device, web browser, or as soon as the episode is published. Words are hard.
Cursive.
Thank you.
Is fluent.
You can also support us on Patreon. Patreon is a service that allows our listeners to actually help us with a small donation, which is collected monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. So today we're trying something new. As we said before, we're live streaming on Patreon. So if you want to see that live stream and see us visually, not just audio, you can actually become a Patreon, help us out, and then in turn you'll be able to see the live feed. That being said, Christopher.
Next week, once again, it's all about the dish. We have no guests, so it's just us, you know, verbally abusing each other, and you can maybe even see some physical abuse.
Of course.
Be sure to tune in for that. Because I'm
fun.
A cutter.
And so, Christopher?
No, I'm Christopher.
Nick, sorry.
Thank you to no one. I mean, like, I had a great birthday, so thank you to everybody who made my birthday great.
I was invited.
Yeah, it was awesome.
You weren't invited because you had to move. So, yeah.
You had a super busy weekend, and that's okay. So, Chris?
I still would have taken an invitation. Can we put a rubber on this? Of course we can. All righty. As
let
always,
me stop you
our
right there. You don't even need an invitation, just to let you know. You could have just showed up. It would have meant the world.
I didn't know anything was going on.
You didn't need to.
I wasn't even
working
in the state. So anyway, moving on.
I'm going to put a rubber on this friendship in a moment. As always, just kidding. I love you guys. Our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces you can find us on social media, Facebook, Gaytalk 2.0, Instagram, Gaytalk 2.0, Twitter, at Gaytalk20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
Or if you're watching us live, you can also do so on our Patreon page.
Sexy voice?
Yes. If you need to reach out to us, you can just head on over to our website, click on the Contact Us tab at the top of your web browser where you can leave comments, suggest topics, submit a question for the cast, or submit a question for an individual host. You can also call us and leave us a question via voice message if you'd like for us to answer that for you on the show. Again, words are hard. That phone number is 334-GAY-TALK. And if you need all the numbers, it is 334-429-8255. Don't forget that we stream live every Monday, audio, at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gents, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night.
Bye! Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more.
It was so long.